Dzień dobry, assalamu alaikum, ciao, konnichiwa, namaste, bonjour, hola, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Ken, usually at 10, and today doing our podcast as usual for the Property Buyer and Sellers Podcast. How are you? I hope you're well. So we pop this on the YouTube channel as well for a change, something we fail to do quite often. So I hope you're doing well. As I record this, it is the 19th of April in the morning. And just before we open our doors, we are an active estate agency based in Southwest London, Southwest 16 to be precise. We let and manage hundreds of properties throughout London and sell as well. So just something I wanted to bring to your attention that you may or may not be aware of. This is regarding the Renters Reform Act. And what we now know is this is the latest update from our professional association. And what they're saying is that following the meeting with the minister, an official update from officials that a letter had been issued to Conservative MPs detailing amendments to the UK government's table to the Renters Reform Bill. They were emailing us to let us know that they've had a direct correspondence from the Department for Levelling Up Housing and Communities, and that these are the amendments that have been tabled. And they make key changes to the bill. And the Renters Reform Act is really, really important. If you don't know about it, it's currently on its third reading, I believe. And I think that reading comes next week, which means it's very close to becoming legislation. What the big headline was that they were looking to abolish Section 21 notice. That's the no-fault eviction notice. It seems that has been dropped for now, but they do suggest that they may wish to come back to that for reasons which will become apparent, I think, in the tabled amendments. But let's go through them anyway. The first one is establishing a six-month period for tenants, in effect making creating a default fixed term of 6 months in all contracts, mirroring a standard break clause in many existing contracts. Well, there's no change there, really, so that would be sensible. Committing to a review of the implementation of tenancy measures within the bill, it'll introduce an amendment that requires the Secretary of State to lay a statement covering the effectiveness of new possession grounds and the effect of moving periodic tenancies to periodic tenancies and abolishing fixed-term tenancies. Now, this is the other point about the Renters Reform Act. They're talking about doing away with fixed-term tenancies entirely, meaning that when you start a tenancy, it's just continual. It's not really a problem because if you require possession, you can still get possession on a variety of grounds, some of which are still mandatory. It's just that Section 21 that's coming away. But I think that makes sense anyway. What they're basically saying here is that it's all very well getting rid of Section 21 in a court system that's already clogged. But how are you going to legislate to make sure that there's an even-handed nature to this bill so that landlords can get their properties back? And that's a problem even at the moment with Section 21 in place. And the idea is that there might be some streamlining of the courts or some funding for the courts or some digitization of the courts, which would make it easier to gain possession where grounds are borne out correctly. Now, this is critical for the success of the whole housing market in the UK, because the moment the private landlord, which represents anywhere from 20 to 40% of the housing stock, depending on where you are in the UK, get scared. If they get scared and decide that they're going to walk, bearing in mind most of them hold substantial equity in their property and there's no great yield in it anymore, mainly due to Section 24 tax changes by this government, you know, you may find that there's a very large exodus of the private landlords, and that's a real problem for the government. And I think they know that. So they're trying to put a situation in place where landlords can still get their property back where it's necessary. They're also talking about changing student possession grounds, and that's a mandatory ground to facilitate student lets, allowing landlords to evict tenants living together in an HMO. This is because student letting is quite different from other letting and often has terms where they do want to change or do want to come out at certain periods during the tenancy. And the other thing is, what I thought was quite important, they're undertaking a review of council licensing schemes. Now, if any of you have been caught by this already, landlords, then you'll know already that some of these council landlording schemes are quite punitive. And what they basically do is they make you pay a fee for rental, like a license fee. And in return, you have to upload things like your gas safety certificate, electrical safety, portable appliance testing certificates. And the idea is that your local authority is policing your rental, which is fine, were it necessary, but I don't really think it is. And more to the point, the new licensing scheme will have a central portal where these things will have to be uploaded anyway. So there'll be a duplication. And that has now been recognized, I'm pleased to see, because I could see a situation where you will be, no doubt, there'll be a fee for this central portal that you pay for as a landlord. And also then you'll be paying the local authority to upload the same information to them. So I think it's important that that takes on a new framework, and that framework is centralized rather than localized for local authorities to just make money out of. So they've said that as far as that's concerned, they'll undertake a review of council licensing scheme to prevent duplication with the introduction of the new portal. And this is the portal where you'll upload your gas safety certificates, that kind of thing. And they'll conduct a review of licensing and licensing of HMOs to reduce burdens on landlords. The other bullet point is a review of the county court possession proceedings. And this is that the Lord Chancellor will be required to publish an assessment of barriers to possession and the readiness of the courts to advance for abolishing Section 21 for existing tenancies. And they'll commit to legislation to publish an annual parliamentary update on the state of the private rented sector, including data on supply, size and location of properties. Now, these amendments in full will be added to the Renters Reform Bill publications page. And throughout the passage of the bill, Property Mark is working to highlight the importance of these things. And they're doing a good job, I think. They're working really hard to try and protect landlords' interests, as is Ben Beadle of the National Residential Landlords Association. So there are some good people out there working on your behalf, landlords. I know sometimes it can feel a bit the other way, but that's the news as far as the Renters Reform Act. It is coming. It's probably coming without the abolition of Section 21 immediately, but we can expect that to come later. There'll be lots of questions around that, I know, but just to give you a little update, if you're a landlord, and that'll be of interest to you. If you're not, probably not, but it does have an impact on the whole housing sector in the UK. So that's why I mention it. So on from that, what's going on with the housing market? Well, we were hoping at this stage of the year that interest rates would be lower. It's frustrating that they're not. And interest rates are critical to the health of the UK housing market. And now confidence is just a little bit flat. How is that going to change? Well, we anticipate that the next MPC meeting, there will be a drop in the interest rates. It's not going to be a big one. I think we'll probably see a quarter of a point come off. That's my gut feeling. You can never know. But the reason I say that is because inflation figures are coming down now quite rapidly. And that's because we're all struggling. And we've gone through that peak pain point, I hope, which means that interest rates can come off. And the reduction of those rates is important, not because it will make a huge financial difference. 0.25 point financially won't make a lot of difference, but it's signaling a direction of travel of those rates, which will bring down the swap rates. And it's the swap rates that make the actual fixed rates longer term for the market. So although it might seem like a small thing, it could have a massive impact. So we'd like to see that come down at the next MPC meeting. We hope it does. In the meantime, the market's a little bit quieter than we'd like it to be for this time of year, particularly around the middle ranges. We have had the Easter holidays, of course, and Easter holidays are always a time where families go away. And in my area where there's a lot of families that do the buying, it's actually the next couple of weeks that are quite busy usually in the housing market. And we're particularly getting inquiries around three-bedroom homes at the moment in our area, with average price between five and 600,000, I should say. And as far as market sentiment is concerned, well, a lot of people are worried. They're a bit anxious about the election. We expect as we head towards the election, and especially when the election is announced, then the market will quieten down. It always does. Never more so, though, when there's a potential change of government. When there's a potential change of government, everybody's a bit worried about what that will mean for the housing market. You know, what will Labour do if they get in? How will it change things? And so there will be some fear and trepidation around that. And in my experience, that will mean a lot of people not moving. And that in turn leads to a lack of supply, which underpins the market, ironically. And we are seeing some of the larger landlords now re-entering the market, seeing that prices have just pulled back a bit, particularly on 1- and 2-bedroom flats. There isn't the appetite for those flats that there was some years ago. Who knows what might happen? We might find that the government do legislate to do something to incentivize first-time buyers. Wouldn't be the first time, would it? And that can make a critical difference when it comes to the housing market. So, all in all, a mixed time. We're certainly hoping for that cut in interest rates to come along very soon, and that will make a difference. As far as the broader market's concerned on sales, it is the case that I'm speaking to a lot of my colleagues across the city, and they're finding that they're reasonably busy, but it's not fly away. It's very much kind of steady, but not flying. And so that's the theme here in London. I hear that coastal areas are a little bit quiet, but they tend to pick up around the sort of middle of the year in the summertime. Now, if you're looking to buy or sell, don't be put off by this. I always say, you know, if you look at what the market's doing and make your decision based on what the market's doing, you're never going to move. Don't worry about that. Ask yourself one question. Can I afford to make the move? And is it the right time for me and my family in terms of maybe you've retired, maybe your circumstances have changed, maybe your children have changed schools, All these things are good reasons to move. And actually, for most of us, if we're moving from a house in London for £500,000 to move to a place out of London for £500,000, well, the net effect is zero, because the market tends to come down in around about the same level. So therefore, if your house is no longer worth 600, but it's worth 500, then what you're buying is also 500 and not 600, then the net effect is zero. So rather than think about it as, you know, when my house is worth a lot, I'll move. Well, what you move to will also be worth a lot then. It doesn't matter. Make the move when it's right for you and your family. I always say this, but I do think it's really important that people don't get the impression that you must move when the market's flying, because there are better times to move, and they're often the times when everybody else is doing nothing. Of course, it does lead to one problem, and that is supply. You're not going to get the level of supply that you do when there's confidence around. I don't suspect we're going to get huge amounts of confidence around this year. I think that will probably come next year as things settle down, but you never know with the UK housing market. So as always, a short one this week, but thanks for listening. I hope that was helpful to you. We'll be back next week with another edition. Until then, look after yourselves, and if you can, your family and friends. Ciao.